Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Ashmer Salashon Class Learning. Happy Tu B'Shvat to everyone. Happy Tu B'Shvat to all. And to our beloved Eretz Yisrael. So let's begin with the Tefillah Al HaDibur, please. It can be found on the WhatsApp image of our Ashmer Salashon Class WhatsApp group, if you're wondering where you can find it. Here we go. Ribono shel olam, yihi ratzon lefanecha al rachum v'chanun, shetizakeni hayim v'chol yom mishmer pi l'shanim l'ashen hara v'chilas, v'ezar medaber afil al ish yachi, v'kol shekein ha'kla Yisrael, v'al chilek mehem, v'kol shekein misraim al midosef shel kodesh baruch hu, v'ezar medaber divrei sheker chanufa, machlokas ka'as, gaiva onas dvarim, halbanas panim leitzanos, v'chol dibur asr, v'zakeni shlo ledaber kim davar hatzarech l'inani gufi v'nafshi, You call my Saiva Diburai the Shem Shemayim. Amen, Amen. We are learning the Zecher and the Ilui Nishmasam, Tzvi Gershon, Ben Yoel Bechana Alavasham, as well as Zev Wolf, Ben Yeshai Alavasham. May both Nishamas have Elios and those Chos of the Divrei Torah we will share this morning. And with your permission, continued refuah for Bracha Avigail Basrachel, Gita Besoch Sha'archo Le Yisrael. So we are in the middle of the topic of Onas Dvarim, which is verbal oppression. That's because we are up to the Sefer, in the Sefer of the Chavetz Chaim, Kunshos Chavetz Hashmira. He is going through in Yane the specifications of and parameters of Onas Dvarim, which is verbal oppression. So we are in the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia. We are continuing in Nun Tas Amud Aleph. So I'm going to start by screen sharing. One second, please. I prepared it to, I'll put it on the screen for you. 1 minute. Here we go. 1 second. Sorry, my son's having a crazy situation. Okay, let's go. Can you see that it says Bava Metzia 59A on the top of my screen? Yeah. Okay, let me put you over here. So I could put Rashi over here. Or when we need it. Okay, so here we are. Okay, the last thing we learned is that it is better for a person, so to speak, to come al Safek Eishas Ish, rather than embarrass his friend in public, just to give us some idea of how severe Onas Dvarim is. We quoted from Rav Pam last time, from Atar Lamelech. Last time we also said that there, or maybe 2 times ago, there are 3 who go down to Gehenna but don't come up so quickly, and one of them is somebody who is verbally oppresses his friend, Onas Dvarim. So here we're up to. I have where we're up to. Okay. You're right, this is exactly where I'm up to. I put a sticky maker. Avahamalbim espnei chaver berabim eino chelak olam haba. Someone who embarrasses his friend, the whole sugya here is on Onas Dvarim from the Mishnah, which is talking about lo sonu ish es amiso, a man may not oppress his fellow, which the Gemara derives is referring to Onas Dvarim. Remember, we originally learned in the Sefer of the Chavetz Chaim, and he was quoting from the Gemara. You can't say to the donkey driver, oh, those people have food, if you know they don't have food. You have transgressed Onas Dvarim. You can't say to the Chozer B'Teshuva, remember when you used to eat at McDonald's. You can't say to the convert, remember the ways of your forefathers. All these things fall under the classification of Onas Dvarim. Can't go into the Jewish-owned store and say to the proprietor, how much is this item, when you know you don't have the money to buy and you have absolutely no intention to buy. You're just window shopping for pleasure. That all falls under the category of Onas Dvarim. And now the Gemara tells us that Hamal, we're in Bava Metzia, like you see on my screen, Nun Tas Aleph, Hamal ben es pnei chaver berabim, someone who embarrasses his friend in public has no chelek in the world to come. So I'm going to quote from this beautiful, amazing biography of this tremendous gadol, much lesser known gadol, Rav Gusman. Rav Gusman was on the basin. Rav Yisrael Zev Gusman was on the basin. He was the youngest member of the Vilna basin of Rav Chaim Ezer Grudzinski. That's why he was very close to Rav Chaim Ezer. He once walked into a knessia and the Chavetz Chaim stood up for him. I think I told you this before. Then he said after that he had no Taiva ever for kavod his whole life. He says, once a Chavetz Chaim stands up for you, you can never desire kavod in your life because there's no kavod that you could get. He was a tremendous gadol. It's an art school biography. It's not so long and there's so much to learn for it. If you're interested in learning something new, Rav Gusman, it's called The Youngest Dying of Vilna. Last year's Rosh Hashiva in New York and Yerushalayim. It's art school. So I'm quoting from this biography. Okay? And he survived the Shoah. He survived the Holocaust. If you remember the story of his son and the shoes that he switched, the son, after his son was beaten, he switched the shoes for food, but he couldn't eat it. Okay. The students of the Rosh Yeshiva often saw Rav Gusman show a severe face to one of their number over some issue, and very quickly at the Talmud. So he would sometimes show a very severe face when he was trying to give Musar. The severity was not reflective of internal anger, but was merely his need to show a Talmud disapproval over some issues. He said, quote, "In all my days, I have never been angry at another Jewish person." Rav Gusman was meticulous about never hurting or embarrassing another person. On one occasion, a father brought his son to the Rosh Yeshiva. Rosh Yeshiva asked him, "What are you learning?" The boy was so in awe of the Rosh Yeshiva, based on the profound respect his father expressed regarding Rav Gusman's greatness, he could not utter a single word. He was simply struck dumb. Seeing this, the Rosh Yeshiva took the boy outside and he went for a walk with him. He spoke to him about mundane matters, until the boy was at ease. Then the Rosh Yeshiva asked him about the Gemara he was learning and Rashi and Tosfos on the Gemara. Once at a wedding, Rav Gusman rose from his chair to greet someone. In the interim, a young man sat in a seat, mistakenly thinking it was not in use. When the Rosh Yeshiva returned to the table, the young man jumped up as if he had been bitten. "Please sit down," said the Rosh Yeshiva. "No, no, the Rosh Yeshiva should please sit down," said the man. "I want to stand," said the Rosh Yeshiva. "I want to stand too," said the young man. "Please take a seat," said the Rosh Yeshiva. "I am ashamed," said the young man. "Ashamed," said the Rosh Yeshiva. "I have never, in my knowledge, shamed anyone in all of my days." One more vignette. A group of students approached the Rosh Yeshiva, who was engrossed in a sugya at his table in the corner of the base medrash as usual. Listen to this. It was after the Kabbalah Shabbos service, shortly before Tfilas Arvis, during the months of Sfiras HaOmer. Rav Gusman always waited for the later Rabbeinu Tam time to recite the Ma'ariv prayers. A Talmud came over and said, "We are sorry to bother the Rosh Yeshiva, but we want to ask the Rosh Yeshiva a question about the person who davened Kabbalah Shabbos and who is planning to daven Ma'ariv for the Amud as well. We're coming to the Rosh Yeshiva because it seems as though this person has been shaving, a practice prohibited by Jewish custom during this period, member of Sfira, and we think perhaps he should not be davening for the Amud," said the Talmud. The Rosh Yeshiva, without looking up from the Gemara, replied, "Not shaving during Sfira is a minhag. It's possible he has been violating the custom by shaving. However, not allowing this person to daven for the Amud will send a strong and hurtful message, and in doing so, even more so, it will be done publicly. It is a grave deoraisa prohibition that will be transgressed. Quote, one must never hurt a person in such a way for any reason. He certainly should be allowed to daven for the Amud." He went back to the sugya without uttering another word or even looking up at the boys who had come to complain. So two vignettes, a couple of stories from a great gadol into this idea that we understand how severe it is to embarrass somebody in public, like we just learned in the Gemara. You see it on my screen. Of Ahamabim as pnei chaveru berabim einu chelak leolam haba. There was a mishpacha this week in Family First. I don't know if anybody saw Did anyone see Family First? There was like a few readers wrote in different stories of chasadim people had done to them. And one woman wrote in, there was a very hot day. I believe it was in Eretz Yisrael. And she was driving her two children and she came inside. And it turns out that she forgot one of her children in the car, the three-year-old. And someone came upstairs and saw the child in the car and knew this woman. And he says, "Is it possible, do you know where your three-year-old is?" And she realized right away the child was in the car. And she started to, grab the keys and run downstairs. So the man said to her, "Give me your keys. There are a lot of people outside. You just stay here. I'll bring you the child." And she wrote in, it was in the chapter of Chesed that people had done. And her point was that this neighbor appreciated how ashamed she would have been because there were so many people who had gathered outside. Everybody would be talking and pointing and looking and taking pictures about the mother who left the child in the car. And not only did he rescue her child, but he spared her the shame and the public embarrassment by telling her, you wait here, I'll get the child, don't come outside, there are many people there. So we see, it was just in Mishpacha this past Shabbat, so we see the tremendous sensitivity. Rav Gustman said, you want to be over a grave, the oraisa of Ma'abim Pnei Chaber Barabim, because perhaps he is going against a custom be Yisrael. Of course, he should daven for the Amid. Never even looked up from the Gemara. Okay, that was the end of the conversation. Let's continue with the Gemara. The Amar Marzuta Bar Tuvia. Marzuta Bar Tuvia said, Amar Rav in the name of Rad. But Amar then, there are those who say Amar Rav Chana Bar Bisna, and there are those who say it was Rav Chama Bar Bisna who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Chista. But Amar then, and there are those who say Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There are those who say that this teaching comes from Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So what is the teaching? Noach lo la Adam, it is better for a person. It is better for a person to allow himself, to throw himself, to be thrown into a fiery furnace, and he should not embarrass his friend in public. It's a better person should cast himself into a fiery furnace, and he should embarrass his friend in public. Manalan, from where do we learn this? Tamar, we learn this from Tamar. Tamar, it's funny, Paraklam and Chesed Bereishis, and today is Tu Bishvat. So it's interesting that her name is Tamar. I just thought of something literally now that I never thought of before. She's a Tamar. Her name is Tamar. We know that names in Tanakh are replete with relevance and lessons. They're not stam chosen. Every name in Tanakh has a meaning. And Tamar, when Rashi says, when the Pasuk tells us about the Shiva HaMinim, it's in Devarim Perachas Pasachas. So we know davash does not mean bee honey. Davash tamarim. We're talking about honey from dates. Elsewhere, Rashi also says elsewhere it's honey from figs. We're talking about in general davash tamarim, which is called silan today. Davash tamarim. So I just thought it was interesting as I'm speaking and teaching this class, and it didn't occur to me before. Her name is Tamar because a tamar is very sweet, like a honey, not a bee's honey. A bee's honey has a sting also. Yeah, sweet like honey. And perhaps that's one of the references to Tamar, that she was had this mituka quality, this sweetness, that she was not even willing. She was such a matok person that she was not willing to embarrass somebody else in public. So just a little ode to Bishra. So how do we know that it's better for a person to cast himself into the Kivshan Aish and not embarrass his friend this public? Because the Pasuk says, in Bereishis, Paraklam Merchas, he mutse hi shalcha al chambiya. She's being taken out to be burnt. And she sends the signet and the staff, signet and cape, to her father-in-law. And she says, whoever gave me these, that's who I am pregnant by. So why didn't she just say, when they come to take her out to be burned, you know, what are you taking me out to be burned? Yehuda, my father-in-law, made me pregnant. No, because she teaches us that it's better to cast yourself into the fiery furnace than to embarrass your friend in public. And Rashi on this piece says, right here, I'm putting it on the screen. He moves a vishlachas, or Rashi and the Gemara says she's being taken out when she sends the items to her father. Now, afo pisha hayimotzin, also the srefa, see Rashi on the side of my screen, even though they're sending her out to be burned. Excuse me. Lo amra laham the Yehuda nivalti. She did not say to them, wait a minute, I have become pregnant, I have conceived by Yehuda. Al shalchalo, but she sent them to him alone. Lamisha ela lo anochi hara. She sends a private message that only Yehuda will understand. Whoever these belong to, that is who made me pregnant. V'im Yoda, and if he will admit, by the way, his name is Yehuda, not only one pshat is because we are people who give thanks, another pshat is because he was able to be molda al ha'emes. Chazal says, I'm sorry, Chazal say in Pirkei Avos that one of the qualities of a Talmud Chacham is that he's able to be moda al ha'emes. He's able to admit the truth. So, im yoda, hu me atzmo yoda. So she said, if he wants to admit that he made me pregnant, he's going to do it on his own, but I am not going to say anything. And so the Gemara, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, says, mamish, it's better to be thrown into a fiery furnace and to embarrass your friend in public. Continuing with the Gemara. Amar Rav Chana Berei, Rabbi Chana, the son, Anam, Rav Cha, Rav, okay, I said it wrong. Amar Rav Chinana, Berei de Rav Idi. Rabbi Chanina, Chinana, the son of Rav Idi, said, Ma'i dichtiv, what is the meaning of the Pasuk? Lo sonu ish es amiso, okay? So what does it mean when the Pasuk says, you see, it's from Vayikra Perak Chavhei, Parshas Bahar. Lo sonu es ish as amiso. A person may not afflict his fellow. So you see Rashi on the screen. Rashi says amiso am ito, with his nation. But onas, oh, we're not up to that yet. Don't look at that Rashi yet. Lo sonu ish as amiso. What is the meaning of the pasuk? The whole prohibition: a man may not afflict his fellow. Okay. So the Gemara answers. Sorry. The Gemara answers, Am she'itcha b'tor v'mitzvos al tonehu. Very interesting. The Gemara answers, do not wrong a member of the nation that is with you in the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvos. So that seems to indicate if an individual is not with you in the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvos, then the prohibition of onas devarim does not apply. The art school footnote says as follows. The term amiso, now you see it has the word I and mem in it, right? Like am, lo sonu ish es amiso. The term amiso is seen as a contraction of, like you see on Rashi on my screen, am ito, a nation with him. You see it on Rashi on my screen. Thus the verse states, one may not wrong individuals of the Jewish nation who share a commitment from to Torah and mitzvos. This differs from the prohibition of ona'as mamon, which forbids the defrauding of any Jew, even one who is not observant. So now we come to an interesting sugya in this umbrella of ona'as dvar. Lo sonu ish as amiso. When it comes to ona'as mamon, it says a man should not wrong his brother. We took him earlier. That is in Devarim 25:14. You shall not oppress your brother. And that is onas mamon, and that refers to all Jews. But when it comes to onas devarim, verbal oppression, there is an exception, apparently. Lo sonu ish es amiso, am she'itcha b'tor v'mitzvos al tonehu. Like Rashi says, am ito. He is part of the nation with you. So that means it's someone who is medactic or follows or adheres or clings to and lives a life of Torah and mitzvos. To him you shall not oppress. I'm going to tell you something very, very interesting. This was mamish addressed in this week's Mishpacha. Okay? Literally, I don't know if anybody saw. Mishpacha has been covering the past few weeks very well done, extensive, important articles on molestation and sexual abuse because of what has happened in Eretz Yisrael in over the past couple of months, past few weeks. So over the past few weeks, Mishpacha has had very, very good articles and experts in the field, different approaches they've to help people, whatever. So this week they interviewed, this is in the main Mishpacha, not in Family First, okay? An interview with Rabbi Zev Cohn of Chicago's special base team dealing with issues of abuse. So a number of years ago, Rabbi Zev Cohn, with the leadership of the Device of Das Torah, established a base team in Chicago specifically to deal with cases of molestation and sexual abuse. Okay, so it's an interview with him. It's very interesting. Right after the interview, there is a page article by Rabbi Avram Neuberger. I just read this on Shabbos, and it relates exactly to what we just learned in the Gemara. A note on Hilchos Lashon Hara. Rabbi Avram Neuberger is the Rabbi of Congregation Shari Tzvil of New Hampstead, author of Positive Vision, a Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation project, and editor of the recently published Sefer Chavetz Chaim by Art School Chavetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. Right, so this is very halachic. And we just learned in the Gemara that it's lo sonu ish as amiso only when he is am ito b'tor v'mitzvos. Okay, here we go. I'm just quoting. I'm not giving any of my own opinions here. I'm literally quoting. You can go look it up. It says past week's Mishpacha, page 62. Cases of abuse perhaps highlight more than anything else the tension in the verse in Vayikra, Yud Tes Tezayin, lo seilech rechil ba'amecha. Do not go bearing tales amongst your people, which is the primary source against speaking Lashon Hara. The continuation of the verse is, Lo sa'amod al dam reyecha. Do not stand idly by while your fellow's blood is shed. The Torah included both prohibitions in a single verse, so it's connection. Okay, there's Lo seilech rechil ba'amecha is connected to, by the way, it's also Lo seilech rechil ba'amecha. It's the same Lo sonu ish as Amiso, and the Gemara derives from there has to be someone who is with you in Torah and mitzvos. And then, lo samar al dam reyecha. The Torah included both prohibitions in a single verse to convey that just as there's a prohibition, again, saying that which must not be said, it is prohibited to say that which should not be said. There is a terrible aveira against not saying that which must be said. I'm quoting verbatim. I'm not, especially this is halacha, not hashkafa, so I'm not saying anything on my own. Again, the Torah included both prohibitions in a single verse to contrast these two ideas. On the one hand, you cannot speak Lashon Hara. What not should not be said, it's a terrible prohibition to say it. Lo seich l'chil b'mecha. On the other hand, what has to be said has to be said, and it's a terrible prohibition to not say it, and that's from the category of lo sa'amod al dam re'echa. Do not stand idly by while your brother's blood is being shed. The Torah included both prohibitions in a single verse to convey that just as there's a prohibition against saying that which must not be said, there's a terrible aveira against not saying that which must be said. Abuse cases are the ultimate high-stakes scenario because the very accusation is often the conviction in the eyes of many people, which is also true. That very accusation sometimes becomes the conviction in the eyes of many. Such cases, therefore, must be handled with great confidentiality by responsible Beis Din to determine the validity of the claims. Right? Now, parentheses. The halacha grounds for Beis Din accepting testimony in the absence of the accused and from minors and from those who are generally not accepted for testimony. Okay? Like, let's say a woman comes and gives testimony. A woman can't be an aid. So what happens? Is discussed in the post-skim, see the Ramah, Choshen Mishpat 33. It's beyond the scope of this brief note. Okay, so, Rachman al-Sam, we should never have such a shayla or such a situation, but that's beyond the scope of this discussion. However, once Beis Din determines there are grounds for the accusation, then whether it is Lashon Hara for them to publicize their finding depends on a single factor. The single factor being to'elas, which he translates as constructive benefit. Once the Beis Din investigates and the claim is valid, whether it's Lashon Hara for them to publicize depends on whether the information is to'elas. No, there are three categories of sinners to whom the prohibition of Lashon Hara completely does not apply. That's what we just saw in the Gemara, and I couldn't believe it when I was preparing the shiur, because my mama just read this on Shabbos, and while I was learning through the Gemara, I'm like, where's the Mishpacha? I just read about this. Okay? Lo sonu ish es amiso, like Rashi said, am ito, and the Gemara says, am ito b'toru v'mitzvos. There are three categories of sinners, that means someone who is not am ito b'toru v'mitzvos, to whom the prohibition of Lashon Hara, quote, completely does not apply. One, amumar lahachis. A mumar lahachis is one who sins to anger Hashem. This is a person who is a renegade who has complete disregard for all mitzvos. So that's the first case. Halachically, the prohibition of Lashon Hara does not apply. Mumar lahachis, he sins to anger Hashem. He's a renegade who has complete disregard for all mitzvos. Two, a kofar. Kofar he defines as a heretic who rejects the basic tenets of our faith. And three, a moser. One who hands Jews over to the authorities. Those are the three categories of people for which the prohibition of Lashon Hara does not apply. I heard a shir by Rabbi Shai Schechter from 2 or 3 weeks ago after the week in Israel. The perpetrator took his life in the day after a victim, Rachman Al-San in her 20s, took her life. Rabbi Shai Schechter said, people run around with this term. You could all listen to the shir on Yom Torah. I'm not saying anything on my own right now. While treading these waters. So Rabbi Shai Schechter said, where does the term Moser come from? People throw around the term Moser, Moser. You can't tell the police this one, that one. We should never be involved in such an idea. I'll sort of go to the authorities. He said, it used to be that Mesira was, in the times of Chazal, and you could even say Middle Ages, in Europe, the Goyim were always looking for an excuse to kill Jews. They always wanted to kill Jews. So if you would go to the authorities with a Jew and you say, this Jew committed this crime, the Jew would not begin with a fair trial, and it was almost immediately a death sentence for that Jew. Okay? So if you went to the authorities, it was true Mesira, because you're saying this guy did this and this sin, and the authorities were more than happy to see another Jew strung up by the tree. Like, it was their greatest joy. Today, said Rabbi Schechter, we have courts of law. We live in a democratic system and world. I'm not talking about living under communities where they live under terrible pressure. Rachman al-Tzan, maybe it's a different situation. Again, everyone asked their own shaila. I'm just telling you what he said about Masir today. The people get a fair trial in a democratic court of law. It is not an immediate death sentence if you go to the authorities and say, this person did such and such. Obviously, you do this with the guidance of a Rav. But it's interesting that a Moser is one of the people who's out of the category. But it used to be that being a Moser had very different implications. What you were in essence doing was killing a friend. By giving over to authorities, you assured his certain death. Today, it's not like that. So the three categories are Mumar Lahachis, someone who angers God, who is a renegade, who disregarded all mitzvos, a Kofar Be'ikar, is a heretic who rejects the basic tenets of faith, and finally, a Moser, who hands a Jew over to the authorities with the understanding that that person will be killed. These three are not regarded. These three people are not regarded as a Misacha, which is exactly what we just learned in Bava Metzia, Nun Tes. They are not literally a member of your nation anymore at all. And one may speak Lashon Hara about them without needing to meet any requirements of Toelas. So long as a person is still a Misacha, you have to know if there's Toelas in spreading this. Once he is either a Mumar Lahachis or a Kofar or a Moser, he is no longer a Misacha at all. And one may speak Lashon Hara about them without needing to meet any requirements of Toelas. In the case of abuse, however, we are dealing with a Mumar Latei Avon, Latei Avon, like Taiva, a renegade who acts out of physical desire. Somebody has a strong physical Taiva desire. He retains some degree of Amisacha, and thus one may speak Lashon Hara about him for what is for Toelas, a constructive benefit. The Chavetz Chaim mentions several examples of Toelas. The most obvious one of Toelas is where the intention of the speaker is to prevent the predator from causing future harm. And he says that this predator is essentially a rodif. And so Toelas would be, if you speak about him to prevent future harm, that's not considered Lashon Hara, even though, interestingly, he maintains some degree of Amisacha, since he's in the category, halachically, of Mumar Latei Avon. So he's not a Mumar Lahachis, he's not a Kofar, he's not a Moser. That's how the halachic decides, not what Michal Haaretz is saying. So he's acting out of physical desire. It must be the Toelas to speak about him. What's Toelas? Says the Chavetz Chaim, the most obvious one is where the intention of the speaker is to prevent this perpetrator and the predator, who falls under the category of a rode if he's chasing someone, a rode if someone chases someone to kill him, from causing future harm. Another example of the Toelas is referred to as Leganos Lepoalei Aven or Lekanei Ha'emes, to denigrate those who are of corrupt character, and to act out of a passion for truth, i.e. to dissuade others from following in their ways. So if you are acting to denigrate those of corrupt character, leganos, like from the word gnai, leganos the poalei aven, to bring gnai to those poalei aven, those who act with iniquity, or lekanei ha-emes, you're a kana for the emes. By the way, you have to be very careful that you're really a kana for the emes, and not a kana for the good piece of juicy gossip. Pinchas was a kana for the emes. Okay? To denigrate those who are of corrupt character and act out of passion for truth, i.e. you want to dissuade others from following in his ways. The Chafetz Chaim stresses that this pertains only to one who commits transgressions that are widely known, such as ni'uf, adultery, which is clearly the case when dealing with a perpetrator. Again, to'alas, mentioned by the Chafetz Chaim, to prevent the predator who is classified as a rodef from causing future harm. That's number one. Two, if you want to denigrate those who are of corrupt character and seek the truth, so you're allowed to denigrate them if you're seeking the truth to prevent others from going in their ways. Three, the Chofetz Chaim stresses, this pertains only to one who commits transgressions that are widely known, such as ni'uf, adultery. It's also this week's parasha, Lotina, Fiesro, which is clearly the case when dealing with a predator. Clearly the case when dealing with a predator. Consequently, in the case of a predator who is not complying with Beis Din, both conditions of Toelas apply, and there is no question of Lashon Hara at all. Furthermore, there would seem to be a Toelas invalidating the victims of abuse when they see how predators are vilified by the community. So that's an additional aspect of Toelas. Interestingly, furthermore, when someone does not comply with Beis Din, Both conditions of Tu'alis apply, and there is no question of Lashon Hara at all. Furthermore, there is a Tu'alis in validating the victims of abuse when they see that perpetrators are vilified by the community. In the earlier article by Rabbi Zev Cohn, he says, so he's in charge of this basin, it's like, I think, 3 decades already, in effect, okay? 3 decades, and he says that he's speaking about this because he hopes that other communities will set up similar Bate Din to deal specially with these specific issues, okay? And he writes here, where is it? I can't find it, but he says if parents absolutely feel that they have to keep the books, where is it? At least put them behind a cupboard or in a box, because you never know who's going to come to your house and be affected and read what they went through. One woman said, told them she walked into a library and she saw the book still on the shelves and she went through it all over again. And you never know who he says, you never know who is actually affected. I mean, my personal Das Torah told me to throw them out. We got rid of them. You obviously have to ask your own Shaila. That you see that there is a to'alis in validating the victims of abuse, and I had so many of them, I think I must have had 20. Furthermore, there would seem to be a to'alis in validating the victims of abuse when they see how predators are vilified by the community. My Das Torah told me that you should throw them out, and not only that, it's a teaching opportunity for your children. So in other words, to make sure that the children are throwing them out and to speak with the children about why you're throwing them out. So you see, according to this halachic piece, Knights Mamish relates exactly to the Gemara that we just learned, Losonu Ishas Amiso, that it is not a condition of Lashon, it is not a prohibition or a violation of Lashon Hara. And not only, just like we started off by saying, which is the main Torah pasuk for the violation and prohibition of Lashon Hara, the end of the pasuk is Lo Samar Odam Reyecha, by Avram Neuberger Reis. The reason they're put together is because the first one tells you you should not speak when it shouldn't be said. The second part of the pasuk tells you you have to speak when it should be said. So sometimes speech is an aveira, sometimes silence is an aveira. Okay? Furthermore, therefore, there would seem to be a to'alis in validating the victims of abuse when they see how perpetrators are vilified by the community. Why can't I find it? Where is it about? What he says about the books. 1 second, please. 1 second. Here we go, Baruch Hashem. Klal Yisrael, I'm going to Rabbi Zev Cohn for a minute. Klal Yisrael described as Rachmanim b'nei Rachmanim. No one has more claim to our sympathy than victims. Over the last 2 weeks, for instance, I've been asked repeatedly, so this is not Michaoritz, I told you what my psak, what psak I was given was. Rabbi Zev Cohn writes, I've been asked repeatedly whether it's necessary to remove from one's house the works of a certain author that has been accused in front of a beis din. I'm not going to paskin for the entire world. So if Rabbi Zev Cohn's not paskin for the entire world, Michaoritz is certainly not, and I already said ask your own rav, okay? Whether it's necessary to remove one's books of a certain author who didn't come to beis din. I'm not going to paskin for the entire world, but I am begging parents who feel they must retain the books to at the very least cover them and put them in a box or in the basement out of sight. Quote, you have no idea who's going to come to your home and what they may have gone through. I was told about a woman who's today a teacher in a film school. She herself was a victim. She described walking into the school library and seeing the works of said author prominently displayed. For her, it was like a punch in the gut, absolutely devastating. In the immediate aftermath of the same story, I'm quoting verbatim, I received calls from 2 victims who told me they were re-traumatized just by the publicity surrounding the whole case. The second priority, says Rabbi Zev Cohn, which goes hand in hand with the first, is ensuring there are no further victims. So that's exactly one of the purposes of To'alis, that the Chofetz Chaim said, that you, part of the reason about speaking about this is that so there should be no further victims. And it's all learned from Losonu Ish As Amiso, when he's Am Ito B'Torah V'Mitzvos, and on the one hand, Lo Seyech V'Chil B'Amecha, but on the other hand, Lo Sa'amod Adam Reyacha. Moreover, the Chafetz Chaim writes, going back to Rabbi Avraham Neuberger, moreover, the Chafetz Chaim writes, there is no Isser of Lashon Hara to speak against someone who defies the authority of a beis din. So in the case when a person is called to beis din, as in such this case, and they do not appear in beis din, the Chafetz Chaim says there is no Isser of Lashon Hara to speak about someone who defies the authority of a beis din. Lastly, the prohibition against speaking Lashon Hara about a dead person applies due to a cherem. This cherem, however, does not apply to a rodef. So not only is this very timely, obviously very halachic, also very relevant, and also an opportunity, I was told it's a teaching opportunity, and it's important to discuss and set an example and teach your children as well. One of my kids even said, and he, you know, I understand. He said, those are such good stories. Why are we throwing them out? And they are. I mean, not only did I buy them for my kids, I read them all myself. But you see, the Lamaisa, it's a very complicated situation. I'm going to repeat the last paragraph again. Consequently, in the cases of a predator who is not complying with Beis Din, both conditions of Toel supply, quote, there is no question of Lashon Hara at all. Furthermore, there would seem to be a Toelus invalidating the victims of abuse when they see how predators are vilified by the community. Moreover, the Chavetz Chaim writes, there is no Isser of Lashon Hara to speak about someone who defies the authority of a Beis Din. And lastly, the prohibition against speaking Lashon Hara about a dead person applies to Achirim, due to Achirim. The Achirim, however, does not apply to a Rodev. And you will remember that in the piece, he also said, we're talking about, that a Mumer Lahachis, a Kofer, and a Mumer Lahachis Kofer and a Moser are not regarded as Amisecha. And therefore, one may speak Lashon Hara about them without even needing to meet any requirements of Toas. That's exactly what the Gemara has just taught us. So the three people who are not Amisecha, where you don't even need to meet Toas, are Mumer Lahachis, Kofer, and a Moser. And again, a Moser, like Rabbi Shai Shechter said, doesn't mean today if somebody needs to contact the authorities, but of course you will seek Da'as Torah if Chalila V'chas you ever find yourself in such a situation. It used to be that a person was a Moser, the Mamish was a death sentence upon his friend. Today Rabbi Shechter said that is not relevant, and so you can't just throw around the term Moser, but you see, the point of this is how strongly it relates to that piece of Gemara that we just learned. Okay, so when a person is outside of the category of Amisecha, and this is very practical, Halacha L'maisa, it was this past Shabbos Mishpacha, page 62, Halacha L'maisa, it's Mamish, Halacha L'maisa. So yeah, a person has to be wise. And I once asked Rav Naftali White's Ashayla, from a congregation, Isha Yisrael, his great uncle is Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and he is a son of Rabbi Spiegel from the Shtibel in Cedar. So I went to ask him a shayla, and his answer to me was, Al tatzdik harbi. Don't be such a tzadikas. Okay? And I'm applying that here. Again, I'm not telling you when you should or should not speak, but clearly there are cases when a person must speak. And in those cases, Al tatzdik harbi, shouldn't be such a tzadikas. It's not correct to not teach your children. It's not correct to not talk about it. It's not correct to say why we are throwing out those books. So clearly, I mean, I was given that personal psak. I know that even in the beginning, the Gedolei Hador from Eretz Yisrael said, you cannot have the books. Again, everyone has their own round, but al tatzdik harbi. You have to know how to balance out with Das Torah and tremendous siyata d'shmaya. You have to know how to balance out lo seleich v'chil ba'mecha on the one hand with al tamod adam re'echa on the other hand. And furthermore, like John the Gemara, lo sonu ish es amiso am she'itcha b'torah v'mitzvos al toneo. Only when the person is a member of your nation still in Torah and mitzvos, then you may not verbally abuse. But if they have left that category, so there are halachic grounds to davka speak about that person. So a lot of food for thought. One second, please. Yes, so that's exactly correct. In order to protect people, to save lives, that was one of the conditions of the Toelus in speaking about a perpetrator, based on the comment that was just said. One of the whole purposes of Toelus is to prevent future harm to other people. So I'm going back now to my screen share. Let's go back to the Gemara. Here we are. Can you see that I'm back on Bava Metzia 59A? Yeah, okay, thank you so much. So the last thing we learned is... Let's see it on my screen. My dichtiv volosanu ish es amiso, and we explain this in depth, very halachic. Am she'itcha betor v'mitzos al tonehu. Halacha l'maisa, we have brought very concrete illustration of what this means. Amar Rav, Rav says, continuing with the Gemara, right? La'olam, listen to this. La'olam yehe adam zahir ba'onas ishto. New topic of the Gemara. Rav now says, a person should always be very careful, on guard, when it comes to oppression of his wife. And the Gemara, Rashi says on the Gemara, you could see it right here, Ba'onas Ishto, Ba'onas Dvarim Litzara. A husband must be very careful when it comes to words that would cause his wife distress. So the Gemara says, Olam here Adam Zahir Ba'onas Ishto, says Rashi, Ba'onas Dvarim Litzara. Shemitoch Shadim Asa Mitsuya, Onasa Krova. Her tears readily flow, her tears could be found. Shemitoch Dimasa Mitsuya means her tears are found, they're right there, they're always waiting to come out. She cries easily, women are more emotional. Onasa Krova. So her oppression is closer. It's translated by Artskua. Onasa Krova. Oh, Artskua says, I'm sorry, the punishment for wronging her is nearby. The punishment for wronging her husband to a wife is nearby. One second. I heard Rabbi Zavlev talking about Pirkei Avos many months ago. And the Mishnah says in Avos, of course I don't remember what I was preparing, I would have looked it up at the time. The Mishnah is talking about in Avos, someone, I don't remember which Mishnah it was. Someone who finds favor in the eyes of fellow man. There are many interpretations given by Rabbi Lef, but one of the things he said was, one interpretation is, see how that person treats their family members and what their family members think of them. Based on how the spouse thinks of that person, that's how you really know if a person is bekovedik or not. And it's unfortunately a real, very real truism. That sometimes people go with a public persona, pretending to be these wonderful people. But if you would ask the spouse how they are, the spouse, Rachman al Tzal, would not have such good things to say about that person. I can't remember the Lashon of the Mishnah. You know what's going to happen when we hang up? I'm going to remember the Mishnah. Something about kavod for brios. Because one of the interpretations I remember was how they treat animals, which I also thought was very interesting. Because when you look at society today, sometimes they say about murderers, Rahman son, they used to like treat their animals or cats cruelly. There's something about how we treat other people. And the measure of Zavlev said is how they treat their spouse. Ask the spouse what kind of person they are. Not when they were honored at the yeshiva dinner, how they are. Yeah, sure, they're wonderful. Ask them how they behave at home. Did someone know the mission I'm talking about? I could send it on WhatsApp later. Okay, thank you. So you see, that's what the Gemara exactly says here. Olam hi adam zahir bonus ishto. You think you only have to be nice to the people in the street? So now we come to a new category. No, a person should very be on guard when it comes to verbal oppression against his wife. Shemitoch shudimasa mitzui, because her tears are easily found. The Rashi says, bonas tvar mitzara. You can say words that will cause her great pain. Onasa krova. So Rashi explains, lavo pur anus onasa mimaher lavo. Look at Rashi says, the poor anus, the consequences, the punishment will come very quickly from one who causes verbal oppression to his wife. Since her tears come quickly, his punishment will come quickly. And our school footnote explains, as the Gemara explains, if a person cries out in suffering, he is quickly answered from Hashem. Thus, a person is punished soon after offending his wife, because a woman cries easily when she is hurt. Our Gemara discusses offending one's wife. This is what the footnote says. Our Gemara discusses offending one's wife. I think it's Ezu Mechuber HaMechaber Sabrios. I think that's what it was. It is. Thank you, Hashem. Ezu Mechuber, who is honorable, HaMechaber Sabrios. So Brios means creation. So one of the pshatim was, which I thought was interesting, how they treat animals. Tells you if they're really a compassionate person. I just thought that was a very interesting pshat that Rabbi Zavlev said. But the other pshat that relates to this Gemara right here is how they treat their spouse. And that's a true test, he said, of how a person is. Go and ask the spouse how they are. Don't ask the people in public how they are. Okay, it relates to the Gemara. Our Gemara discusses offending one's wife, whom he should surely respect. But, our scroll footnote, this idea is equally applicable to any woman. So, interesting, the Gemara says it's just talking about a wife, but the Arzkofun, and it's quoting the Rambam, as well as Ion Yaakov, And the Rambam in Yaakov Veit, this does not only apply to one's wife, whose tears are easily found, but it also applies to offending any woman. But why? Because her tears are easily found. Ultimately, you're going to bring punishment upon yourself very quickly. Why? Because when she cries, all the gates are closed except for the gate of tears. She's going to cry. The tefillos will sound very quickly. And then the punishment, Rachman al-Tzan, will come quickly. So this was a lot of important learning, very relevant learning, halacha l'maisa learning. Very practical. So Hashem should always give us the wisdom and intuition to seek Das Torah, to know what should not be said, should not be said. And what must be said, must be said. Lo seich v'chil b'amecha, lo sad moro d'amecha. And the Pasuk says, in Vayirka perachav hei, Pasuk yedzayin, lo sonu ish as amiso. So the Gemara says, if he's part of amiso, lo sonu. And if he leaves that category, than not. I'm sure it also applies to wives not doing an asvarim to their husbands, but it would just be for a different reason, just out of respect and derech eretz, and not to speak nicely. The Gemara specifically is saying that because women are more emotional, their tears come quickly. No one should take this as a haskama that I meant to say that wives could abuse their husbands verbally. But the Gemara is specifically talking about the nekuda. Women have a different temperament. They are more emotional than men. Therefore, because of that, the Gemara says it is also for a husband to verbally abuse his wife. So may the neshamas of Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav Chana and Zal Wolf ben Ishai Aleya Mashal merit Alios, may we all have the siyata d'shmaya to know when we need to keep our mouths closed and know when we need to open them for Kiddush Hashem and L'Toelas. Thank you very, very much. I wish you all meaning to b'shvat. Remember, Tamar, she was named Tamar. She had some sort of sweetness in her, and ode to Tu B'Shvat. I wish you a meaningful day. B'Soros Tovos, and thank you so much for everyone for joining our share today. Kol Tov. Thank you. B'Soros Tovos.